Ladies and gentlemen, we are experiencing technical difficulties. We expect to resume normal broadcasting shortly. We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Hey everyone, welcome to The Grind. This is Chris, and you are listening to Volume 13, The Los Angeles edition of The Grind. Tons of shit coming at you. We've got 3, 4, 5 interviews, a bunch of music, and what else can I say? You heard a little bit off the top. Hopefully you liked it, and there's just going to be a whole lot more coming at you. We recently went down to Los Angeles for the Strung Out Twisted by Design / Benefit concert on the 8th of March there. Did a bunch of interviews down there with some of the bands that were playing. Fucking awesome show, let me tell you. D.I., Poor Habit, Death by Stereo, Strung Out, I Am Ghost. Wow. Too bad you guys weren't there. But I'm going to do my best to bring you some of the feeling from that show. Along with this two-hour podcast here on punkradiocast.com, we're also going to have some videos up on the Grind's MySpace page. That's www.myspace.com/burnside780. Hit the video page. Tons of stuff. There's the Poor Habit interview. It's one of the last interviews you're going to hear. Seriously, guys, you have to, even if you've listened to it like a couple times or whatever, you're going to have to check out the video because it's that much better, let me tell you. That being said, hopefully I get it all up in time. If not, just keep checking back because there's always new content on there. We've got 3 or 4 video volumes of The Grind from back in the day, meaning last year, that I still haven't gotten to, but that's coming up very, very shortly. You guys are going to love it. Let's kick things off here with a band that actually I flew into Los Angeles less than half an hour later. I was hanging out at a band's house, listening to them jam. They're called the Syncope Threshold. You guys are going to have to watch these guys because they are hitting the scene pretty hard. And they are going to be coming to a town near you pretty soon, I'm sure. Lots of talent in this group of guys. This track that I'm going to spin right now is called Translucent. The Syncope Threshold on The Grind, Volume 13.
Dishonesty, I cannot bear to speak. Hey everyone, welcome back to The Grind. This is volume 13. We're hanging out in Southern California. Whereabouts are we right now?
La Vergne, California.
And then we're hanging out with the Syncope Threshold. Did
yes,
I get that right?
Close.
Yeah. Close. I was stressed over it all week. Who do we have here?
I'm Tom, I play guitar.
Ryan, I play guitar too.
Mike, play guitar too. Just jumping jumps. Ron, I play bass.
Guitar.
And then Joe.
Which is a guitar.
Yeah,
which is
a guitar. Yeah, the layman's guitar.
So how long have you guys been together as this collective?
We've been together for a little bit over a year and a half, I'd say now. Him and I were in a band for a couple of, did that make sense?
It'll work. By the way, our vocalist Joe is not present, so
We should drum on the whiteboard.
We
should
have
had a puppet for him.
We didn't have a chance to draw now.
Let's do that, actually. Let's go.
You want to draw?
Let's do that right now.
Yeah, okay. But
here's right. Drum on the whiteboard.
Drum on the whiteboard?
Yeah.
All right, cool.
I think we should make a puppet song of him.
A puppet song? Yeah.
Dude, yeah, that would be sweet.
A puppet song. Eventually, he gets replaced by the puppet.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good circle. That's not too bad.
How he tries that. Yeah, I'll
try out the song.
So as we're drawing the vocalist over there, what would you guys classify your sound as?
Oh, man.
Toughest question.
You want to handle this one, Ryan?
Progressive. We're a big mush together of everything that the five of us really listen to, which ranges from everything from a Fat Records era, like fast tech punk, to like the Massachusetts metal, like newer metalcore stuff, to even brutal death metal, to like ambient, more like indie rock stuff. Like, our influences are all over the place, and so that's just, you know, exactly what we tried to capture.
I've heard you have some big news coming up. You guys are in the studio soon, or?
In the works right now, actually. We're building the songs right now, making progress, you know, as that works. And we should be, I don't know, we've got a couple ghost tracks down, you know, progress is definitely being made. We should be cranking it out here in the next couple months, actually, so if everything goes well.
Also, I was privy to a couple of your new songs, as you guys were saying before, and like I was asking, like, how long does it take to get each and every part? You guys were saying before that you sort of take stuff and put it on the back burner, and then when you get that chance, that can just really flow out, mm-hmm. and you work with that. But you know, how long does it take per song if you could sort of average that down?
It depends on who's actually the main writer of the song, mm-hmm. in my opinion. Like, sometimes, like, say myself or Ryan will have, like, a good idea and we could be, you know, here all day or just have, like, a lot of time to get down, like, pretty much every aspect of it. And then it just depends on having all of us together, you know, to sit down and, you know, go piece by piece and get everything situated. So if we're all here and we have enough time, it might take, you know, not as long as normal. But sometimes, yeah. You know, we'll write a piece and, like, have nothing to fit to that, save for later, show one of the other guys, and then... Maybe they'll have, oh, I have an idea for this, and so forth. So it could be it could be written all at once, you know, basically like that, or it could be just, you know, one piece here, one piece there. This guy wrote this part, it fits well with this part that I forgot about 2 months ago, you know. So it just depends. It just kind of works out well, you know. We write good, long, solid songs right at once, or just get a piece from 3 months prior into a song that we wrote like 10 minutes ago, and, oh, that fits there good. So it just depends where it's going. So
now, are you guys good at capping the amount of work you put into songs, or are you very meticulous about, you know, just tweaking it to the point where everyone's like, okay, it's done, you know, let's just leave it where that is, let's move on to something else?
We actually kind of just did that with a song where we actually you know, wrote the song and everything, had it all together, you know, we were playing it solid, you know, and everything, and then all of a sudden we just kind of started cutting it and splicing it and putting it all together, where it's still the same parts, but just how you rearrange it. So after we did that, it definitely, you know, brought the song up 100%, you know, and stuff. And we're all pretty open-minded to do that kind of stuff. So, you know, sometimes you rework them, and, you know, sometimes they just kind of flow out. So.
Heck yeah.
I'd go to say also that those songs are never really done until we actually record them. Like, they're always being manipulated and always being tweaked and always being updated. Joe, what's up?
Hey!
Joe! You're in Vegas!
Hi, man.
I thought you were in Vegas.
What's in his mouth?
It's a joint.
Oh, nice.
You're not supposed to smoke in the fucking house.
What's
dude.
Up? I'm Joe. I sing really high and I smoke all of Ryan's weed. Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you made it, man. Yeah. Welcome back. How was Vegas?
I really quite remember. If you remember Vegas, you really weren't there.
How do you guys feel it's affected your band as being a band in this area in Southern California, where you know a lot of just that the punk, when you think of 90s punk, and it's just solid foundation of the music scene. Like growing up in that, what does that add to you, or you know, make you think about your styles more?
Being around here definitely become really influenced by the skate scene, like the skate punk scene. You know, that was definitely a big backbone to our music, and I think it's just that's one of the things that we took as like a main focus when we started writing or started, you know, getting the band serious, and then just all of the other outside influences kind of, you know, crept in and made their way to a lot of the songwriting and stuff. So I think it's been a big impact out here. I mean, we're all from out here. We all listen to the same bands growing up. So yeah. Especially a lot of local bands out here that are big, like Strung Out, you know, Death by Stereo, bands like that that have influenced us quite a bit. So yeah. It's definitely affected it.
For sure. And having go into those as like growing up and stuff like that, you really, especially in our own songs, when you get into a piece like that, it's like, damn, you feel that for sure.
You get
it's
that like, same feeling.
Yeah, you're like, oh, it never goes away. Deep down, for sure, because that's what, you know, you've been around forever. So that's kind of a cool thing, actually.
Yeah, I was kind of always like into thrash metal and stuff like that, and I just wanted something that was fast and still kind of technical, and you know, yeah, fucking
flat out.
Shit, man. It just feels good.
Joe, what do you
thoughts on this, Joe?
I don't really care for punk rock much.
I hear you're more of a Coheed fan.
Oh. I like Bright Eyes.
Oh,
I just want
to
hear that.
Oh!
That's all.
It's all right, I'm going back to Vegas. This is a waste of time.
It's all right. I really mostly like brutal death metal and the such.
And it's his hair. He is a Coheed fan.
Change his hair.
I try to grow my hair like Coheed's.
Needs more toe jam on that, I think.
But when he gets back, at least he's like, you should make my sock puppet look more like me. My hair ain't that scratchy.
Sorry, I already harvested hair from pubis a week ago. I do not have enough to make afro.
Yeah.
there anybody band-wise around here that you haven't had a chance to play with yet, but you would like to be on the same gig or just hang out with and
More like local or more like bigger?
Yeah, locally, and then let's go
locally.
Bigger.
Well, actually, we just played a show with Poor Habit not that long ago, a few weeks back, and we were
definitely really stoked.
Awesome.
They were on the radio today on 97.1, major Los Angeles station, and they got a really good response from the public.
Big time. They deserve it, too.
They're doing good things.
Check them out.
Awesome band, awesome live show, and awesome guys to top it off.
We're hoping to catch up with them tomorrow at the Big Benefit.
We'll be there watching.
We will be there.
It should be an event to remember.
As far as other like big local bands, I can't.
For not liking punk too much, I think Poor Habit's pretty cool.
Yeah. Other than that, like we've really played, you know, like especially with, I would have to say, you know, all of our, as like idols as a band, whatever, you know, strung out. We had a chance to play with them. Hopefully, you know, we'll be able to do some things in the future with them. You know, Death by Stereo, you know, we played with them, and just surrounding ourselves with as many bands as we can around here that are, you know, big and, you know, well-established, and, you know, even the local ones that just sound good. You know, they
Sky
have, like,
Collapse,
yeah, Sky
Cry
Collapse,
Havoc.
Cry Havoc. You know, those are all great
our
bands, too,
Requiem.
So.
Cool guys.
There's a laundry list of people we want to play with.
Yeah, for sure. As far as locals, though, I mean, we've had the chance, we've been lucky enough to play with a lot of, like, really good local bands that are, you know, punk, noir style, vice versa, so it's been cool.
What's the dream tour for you guys? Are you going to start looking at touring around?
That's hopefully, you know, coming up or whatever. We want to go to, you know, we're trying to get back on Warped Tour for this year, and then... hopefully, if all goes well and our cards play right, you know, we'll be able to go overseas with this, you know, in Europe, and hopefully just get all that together. You know, that would be a dream tour for sure, you know, just being gone for that long and then just coming back and doing another round in another place, you know, hopefully be gone for another month or two and then come back, do another round, you know, just keep going.
They all sound like dream tours to me.
Yeah, exactly.
What about
what I keep saying.
Between
like,
the Very
Dream,
Protest the Hero,
yeah.
Morse Day at a Time, James Brown,
James Brown,
Robin the Grave.
Yeah, fucking A. That'd be a dream tour for me. That'd be pretty interesting.
Pretty interesting.
The Super Tech Tour.
Rush 2.
Rush. And Rush.
And Beneath the Massacre.
Beneath the Mask.
Yes.
Those kids would eat our babies. We have to give them our first unborn baby.
What do you guys think of the current state of like the music scene with just the influence that the internet has on, you know, making money or exposure on the other side of things? Like, what's your take on that?
I'd say it's like one of the only reasons that you're down here from Canada interviewing us and knowing about
it's such a universal gateway.
It's been the biggest promotion tool that we could ever, you know, hope to use so far. You know, I mean,
makes things a lot easier for bands.
I am concerned about the saturation of the scene, though. Just kids are just getting flooded, just from all directions, from just all sorts of bands, and like a lot of them are getting jaded and just don't even want to direct their attention your way.
Yeah.
Like it's still, you know, all about word of mouth in the end. It's still all about, you know, a good live performance, a good tight live performance and material, you know, and word of mouth, there's no substitution for it.
And you can get that word spread a lot faster, a lot more rapidly in a bigger, broader scale with the internet, you know. Which is good, but I mean, yeah, like you said, there is, it's kind of a double-edged sword. There is a lot of bands out there, you know, trying to do the same thing, especially out in Southern California. There's so much competition, if you want to quote-unquote call it competition. But it is, you know, I mean, everybody wants to get their stuff heard, fans out there. But yeah, it's good and it's bad, and just like anything has their, you know, ups and downs. So definitely a good thing, more good.
Yeah, I'd say so, for sure.
Cool. We were talking a bit earlier, and you guys are going to be going into the studio. Do you think your views on this internet issue will change when stuff starts getting, you know, leaked?
We're already starting to feel a little bit of that.
Some of that's been in your control. Like, I mean, you've put that up on MySpace, and you know that's been up there. But when you have that piece that you've worked on for so long and put all this energy into...
Without a doubt. Yeah, without a doubt. Our only thing on record right now is our EP, the end of the beginning. And we're finding it popping up all over the place. And
especially
it's like
Japan.
It's another double-edged sword. It's like it's excellent that it's spreading and like that we see that it's been downloaded. The whole album's downloadable, you know, in Japan for eight or nine times, and it's like okay, that's awesome because it's getting out there. And the other time, you know, on the other hand, it's like all right, when the ball rolls a little bit deeper, you know, who knows how capable that is? How like if you can manage it.
We just found that our entire EP is available on some overseas
ringtone. They're
charging $9.99
per month. The checks are rolling in here, right? You guys are money for
that. Single one.
We just found out two weeks ago.
We should at least download it. I don't even have the ringtone.
Actually, we are getting checks for this, but it's going into my Swiss bank account overseas.
Oh, so yeah. He's loading up his bill in 6 months.
I can see you spending a lot of money on the prop with the sock.
And a lot of time and effort, man.
Italian made. It's a brand new sock.
That's a Jiffy marker work right there.
Yeah.
So.
I can smell that thing a lot.
You talking shit to me, dickhead?
Oh man,
Joe, you smell.
A lot of like the fag bands that I've talked to in the past, they say that with the internet and how the money isn't always there as it was before in the past, they're realizing that it's all about the live shows. Now you guys are saying that touring is something you'd be really interested in. You guys obviously have jobs outside of this at this stage.
He does. I hate every second.
The guy with the little shirt has a job.
Yeah.
But when it gets to the point that you can have a set schedule because of the band and you're doing something that you like, is that going to cause issues for you guys within relationships at home? And is that something you're ready for?
I think what you just said right now is would equal happiness, to be honest with you. 100%. Like, if that would be, that's, yeah. If we could be home a month, 2 months out of the year, more power, yeah, done. Like, I'd do that in a second.
That's why we're doing it.
100%.
I am a superstar, and never forget that. This is definitely a gamble I'm willing to make. I'm going back to Vegas because Ryan's an asshole and pretty mean to me.
Yeah.
Butterscotch, kid.
Smell that butterscotch.
No, but to be able to, not like talking about fat bank accounts and this and that. No, man, just to be able to go out there, do your thing, travel around, and play shows for people you've never seen before. I mean, come on, that'd be...
Living the dream.
Please.
I want to meet the vast majority of the population of Earth at one time or another. People just kind of fascinate me.
So where's the weirdest place in the world that you want to go?
I
actually take that out and not just be like, hey guys, let's take the band here and have it as a vacation almost.
Antarctica.
But you know, some of them pay off. Those scientists, they need something.
I think any place weird that I could imagine, there's got to be some place that's
weirder.
Yeah, weirder than that. And like, I don't really know. I just like to just absorb and see as much as I can doing this, like, for as long as I can, just
see as
just
much
for
as
that experience.
Can.
Yeah.
We're pretty wide-eyed about the whole situation, you know, like, we're definitely pumped and, you know, willing to work and very excited to do, you know, anything, go anywhere, you know, do it all. So
I think the coolest, weirdest place we don't even know about, probably.
Yeah.
I'd like to go
about, it's probably not that cool of a weird place.
I'd like to go about, 2,000 meters under the ocean, actually. Some kind of crazy submarine and see those kind of,
your sticks aren't that
He's done it.
He's wants to put
total isolation.
You're full of semen.
Right here.
You guys want to plug? Before we wrap things up, any bands, local bands that we talked about Skyline Collapse before?
Yeah, yes. They're awesome. Yeah, those guys are great. You know, we've been playing with those guys for a very long time. You know, with this band and, you know, a previous band that we were together with and everything, those guys are awesome. Cry Havoc. You know, we play with those guys all the time.
Kill Davey.
Yeah, Kill Davey, Our Last Requiem, Death by Stereo for being completely awesome to us and everything. Strung Out.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, those guys are just great guys. Who else? Swellers, you know. For,
oh, the
yeah,
Swellers.
Yeah.
Awesome,
so,
guys.
Yeah, those guys are
individuals.
Awesome.
We're playing out here with them April 9th. We might be doing a couple more shows around that date, too, with them. They're awesome guys. Really cool dudes.
Yeah.
Great band.
Oh, yeah,
Wilhelm Scream.
Yeah, Wilhelm
Scream.
Yeah, those guys are great. So,
yeah,
the list can go on for a while.
It's pretty cool. We've been getting some good love from a lot of, you know, good punk bands, and even some, a lot of people don't even really consider us punk rock, so that's definitely a flattering, you know, thing to have go down.
Yeah.
Sweet. I think that's about it.
Let's get some web addresses that we can check out some more stuff.
Cool. Our MySpace page is www.myspace. I did Joe's thing. MySpace.com/TST band.
Yeah.
There you go.
We could have had Joe do it instead.
Oh, well, we're just talking.
We should have had Joe do it. Yeah.
And then our website's down right now, but we should get our server back.
Yeah,
because
we got ripped off by a guy. So no thanks to Autumn Ambush.
Yeah, I agree. No thanks. Thanks for taking our money. I feel good, actually. Two thumbs up. Yeah.
And never returning any of our emails.
But definitely hit us up. We'll definitely talk back to you and hit you back. And I mean, yeah, we like interacting, talking, you know, to everybody. And, you know, it's not going to just go overlooked and, oh, cool. And we want to talk to you. We want to see you. We want to be around you. We want to be part of you. So,
yes.
It's
awesome.
Smell
you. Building that network.
Definitely.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely. 100%.
Yeah.
Smelling people.
Yeah, smelling people. I want to smell as many people as I possibly
can
in my lifetime.
Yeah.
In some cases, naked pictures are appreciated and fully supported.
Totally acceptable.
You need to get a hold of us on our private MySpace. Fill out the application process and...
Yeah.
And the email address, 2035kids@gmail.com. 2035kids@gmail.com. Cool.
Fucking rights, guys. Thanks a lot.
Sweet.
Thank
you. Thank
you very much.
Appreciate it.
Appreciate it. Thank you, guys. Yeah.
That was another track off the Syncope Thresholds EP, End of the Beginning. That track was called Discretion is Advised, and about halfway through the interview, we heard a track called What's Left Wasn't Enough. What can I say about these guys? You have to check out their MySpace page, check out their live show, just fucking check them out. Coming up next, we've got interviews from the Strung Out Benefit Show. Fuck, let me tell you. I'm a big fan of Strung Out. One of my favorite albums, Twisted by Design. 10-year anniversary. They play it front to back. And then there's other bands that play too. Oh, it was amazing. Enough of my gloating, I guess. But let's get to some more music. Coming up here, we're going to get into the Strung Out interview right after we hear Paper Walls, Strung Out on the Motherfucking Grind. Everyone, welcome back to The Grind on PunkRadioCast.com. We're hanging out with Jason Cruz at The Vault. And how are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing fabulous.
Now, why are we all here today?
We're here for the 20th anniversary of Twisted by Design. 10-year anniversary.
10-year anniversary, okay. So it's not just me having issues today.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
A little busy today, hey? You're doing some autographs before, signing some stuff, and I see you're writing some. You're writing your set list right now.
Yes, I am. We're going to do a couple covers and some acoustic songs. Switch it up a little bit.
As well as the full album from Tobacco, Twisted
album,
by Design.
Front to back, yep. It's going to be weird. It's like, I was telling somebody earlier, it's like hanging out with an old girlfriend when you do all these old songs back, evoking some old memories.
How do you think these songs stand up nowadays, 10 years later?
You know, honestly, I don't ever listen to our records, and you play them, and you have, like, such a weird perspective. It just, you know, actually practicing the set, it was really fun. I didn't think it was going to be that fun, but when you go back and revisit some of this stuff and give it the attention that you haven't given it in a lot of, in a long time, it's fun. It's cool. You know, it's like reworking the songs again, trying to change things, tweak things here and there, you know?
Now, there's another reason we're here as well. It's sort of a benefit to recoup some losses. What happened?
We had our van. Everyone knows we had our van and trailer stolen. this last American tour in Philadelphia, and a lot of our crew guys lost a lot of valuable things that were dear to them.
Mm-hmm.
Not to mention all our gear. You know, all that stuff's replaceable. You know, nobody got hurt, unfortunately. You know,
yeah.
But like I said, a lot of our crew guys got the major short end of the stick. So, DI, Death by Stereo, I Am Ghost, and Poor Habit all agreed to put on the show. And I got to say, right now, I'm honored to be playing with DI. They were one of the bands that my band really looked up to when we were mm-hmm. growing up, and it's going to be a awesome show. I can't wait.
I'm looking forward to it. Now, it sold out fairly quickly. Yeah. I think on Tuesday, wasn't it? Just last Tuesday?
Yeah.
In terms of the amount of fans coming out to your shows, do you think it's just something that's going to continue as you go on?
Man, you know, I don't know. I ask myself that every day. I can't believe people still pay money to see us play. That still boggles me, you know. A lot of people have, like, their opinions of me or the way I act around people, but the God honest truth is I'm just like a guy that can't believe that I'm still doing this, you know, and it's just bizarre to me, you know, and the fact that so many bands that we've played with over the years have gone the way by the wayside, and we're still doing it, people are still coming to shows, I don't get it.
There's still demand for punk rock, good punk rock.
Yeah, I hope so, you know, I like to think that that's what it is, you know, I just keep doing what we do and act like the guy that I am and just be thankful for this.
Now, I understand you're going to be doing some artwork. You do a lot of artwork on the side. You are involved in, I can't remember the name.
Just oil painting. I do painting. I'm my American Blackheart.
Okay.
Doing my art projects.
And I understand that you'll be doing the cover art for the new Death by Stereo. Death My Only Friend.
Death My Only Friend, yeah. Fuck yeah, it's going to be classic.
I heard, I was able to hear some of the new music when we were driving here.
And bitching, huh?
Yeah, there's something that some people are going to be really excited about, I think.
Yeah, I think Death by Stereo is probably one of the most underrated punk rock bands of all time. Like, to me, I've never, you know, when they play from the first chord, you know, it's an earthquake. They set it off.
Yeah.
You know?
High energy.
High energy and just good, positive, like, you know, what I loved about the Bad Brains, that positive explosion, and it's Death by Stereo right there.
Now, you guys have a tour coming up. You always have a tour coming up, but you're headed over to Europe.
And then you'll come back and do Pennywise.
You'll be touring with Ignite and Burn the A-Track.
And Terror, yeah.
Looking forward to that?
Yeah.
Awesome.
I feel slightly out of place, but I'm looking forward to the challenge. Working out.
Yeah. Prepping for it, getting ready.
Cool.
I want to thank you for your time, and anything you want to toss out there before we wrap things up?
You guys, I feel sorry for you guys not being here, because it's going to be a fucking amazing show, and we'll see you next time.
Matchbook, Strung Out, awesome tune, awesome show, awesome band, fucking A. In between there, we also heard another track off Twisted by Design that was called Asking for the World. Coming up next, we've got the interview and some Muzak from I Am Ghost. Coming up right now, it is our friend Lazarus Sleeps, I Am Ghost, on the grind. Oh,
was hanging out at the Vault in Long Beach with... Now, this is a local show for guys here, right? You're from Long Beach?
We are from Long Beach, but we've actually never played the Vault in our history of big band. We've actually never really played Long Beach because there really isn't too many places to play around here. So we've been on tour for a year straight, so it's kind of like really haven't been, you know, local band, to be honest, because we really haven't played much in our hometown.
I thought you guys, when you were playing with Strung Out and Wild and Scream when you toured through Canada, just kind of blew me away. Really, really awesome, guys. You've been together for what? Just a few years here?
A few years. We've been April 2005 at our first show. I kind of consider us a band after that point because beforehand, we really didn't know what we were doing yet. We really weren't playing much shows or anything. So that's been almost 3 years now.
Now, you have a new album coming up, is that true?
We're writing it right now. Yeah, we have one full length and Epitaph, and we're doing the second one. We're just right now just trying to get the best. You don't know yet? Don't know. We just have it behind you. Thanks, Jeffrey.
You guys will be glad at home that we didn't get that on tape.
Yeah.
So, Magus Banes are famous. How would you guys describe the style of your music?
Yes.
I mean, people throw out so many different classifications for everything. It's hard to fit into something, and really, it's just do your own thing and find what people like.
That's the hard part. Is this whole scene now? Are you hardcore? Are you screamo? Are you punk? Are you emo? Whatever.
Breakdowns.
We have breakdowns. We scream. We sing. It doesn't. I just, you know, we listen to everything. Like I grew up listening to punk, ska, you know, reggae. School 80s music, Green Day. It's like you don't be labeled. You just want to be a band. That's just, you know, it's hard to see because you have to be labeled nowadays. It sucks. The way it is, though, that's the way the music industry is now.
What's who would you say are your biggest influences?
Oh man, everything. Hard. I listen to a lot of hard rock. That wasn't me. I grew up on a lot of Metallica, and now I like a lot of Foo Fighters. A lot of just a popular 80s, 90s rock to, you know, current music now. dealings with the internet have you had? I mean, a lot of bands, sort of that double-edged sword. We were talking to another band earlier this week, and they were saying that you get a lot of exposure, but you also have, like, the evils that come with the internet. Leaked songs and that kind of stuff.
We wouldn't be a band out the internet. We got discovered through the internet. We got, like, all the members through the internet. But that's a big, huge problem now. It's, you know, downloading. It's illegal, you know, stealing the music, which is killing the industry right now. It's decimating half the bands that are breaking up because they can't afford to be a band anymore. Yeah. Labels are crumbling because of it. It's a double-edged sword. You know, we wouldn't be here without it, but we can be destroyed by it. So,
you know, the record sales. Your response been from fans that come to check out the I Am Ghost shows?
So fun. So far, so good. I mean, it depends on what tour we're on, to be honest. I'll be completely honest. If it's more of a younger crowd, it seems to be insane for us. Older crowds, and, you know, it's hard to kind of win them over, but, you know, we don't really go out there to prove anything. We just want to play music. And if you like us, you like us.
You guys are on a pretty big bill tonight. We've got DI, we've got Death by Stereo, we've got Strung Oats, Poor Habits. Anybody that you haven't had a chance to play with yet that you would like to?
My dad, him would be cool. The Beatles, but Doc Brown is bad.
The Beatles are.
Shot to stardom, because I, you know, would love to, like, go back and play with those bands, you know.
Anything you guys want to do
Check out our MySpace, myspace.com/IamGhost, IamGhostMusic.com, and we're writing new records. Look for it, like, into the summer, maybe latest, maybe around fall. Our goal is not to be home. Our goal is to be on the road. We'll be right back.
I am Ghost with Civil War and Isolation Thirst. And earlier in that interview, we heard the track Killer Likes Candy. Once again, guys, head over to www.myspace.com/Burnside780. Hit up the video page, if for nothing else than to check out this Poor Habit interview. We had some help with Chris Daly from Death by Stereo. Best time to do a Poor Habit interview? I figured it was probably after everyone had gotten really drunk, really rowdy. Sit everybody down and try to conduct an interview. Hey, what's the worst that could happen, right? We've got slapping matches going on. We've got, I don't know. Just listen to it. Coming up right now, though, we've got the Poor Habit track off of their current EP, Suicide. This one is called Bad Luck Drunk. Hora, hora.
So much, Charles. honestly, that's a great question. Honestly, you know, all the sanity, the fact of the matter is that we're best friends. We're like a family. No matter anything, as much fights as we've ever been in, it doesn't matter. We love each other. It's insane. And that's the hard part about being a band. You got people with different mindsets and everything and all that chauncey, but we're best friends. And here you go.
The hardest thing about being us,
Steve,
mustache.
And this,
you know, hey, the hardest part.
Hey,
the hardest part of being, about being in a band is talking into a WWF microphone.
The hardest part about being in Port Habit is that they are, they all hate each other, apparently. And, I'm going to say one thing. I said one thing. Poor Habit is the best band that's not signed, and they should get signed. If they don't, I'm going to start my own label, and they're going to sign on my label.
Because Ali is my favorite drummer. Besides Thomas Hawk.
No. These guys are amazing. But Poor Habit is one of the best bands I've ever heard in my life. I love them. I think Chuck, besides being gay, is the greatest singer.
I would just like to say hello to my mom, who's probably watching this right now. So, it's great. I apologize to the interview.
I don't apologize to anybody. We're just... Ow.
Do you understand that, Jack?
I don't apologize to Hank Ryan. Here's what I'm going to say. you know that, and it went great.
Really good.
All right, let's wrap things up so you guys can continue on with the party. Anything you guys want to plug before we
Port Hammett's the best band of all time. They are amazing.
For real, though. I don't play that shit. Anyway.
I want to plug all of our friends and fans, because without them, we wouldn't be where we're at right now. So, really, thanks to them.
All the venues that hooked us up, the Ball 350, the Vibe, Dragonfly,
just everywhere.
Marquee, Arizona.
Basically, everyone that's just helped us along the way, and everybody knows who they are, 1 o'clock in the morning.
And we're all drunk.
I apologize for not naming specifics.
But I can name one specific, or a couple specifics. Martin Lawrence, Joanna's out here. We can name just like each one of us. Like, if, you know, we bring everything to everyone, and everyone brings everything back to us. So we want to thank everybody out there in Disneyland. I just want to say thank you very much for enjoying our time, because we do what we do. And then you guys love it. And you buy CDs, you come to shows, we all have a good time, and then that life us, you right. But you know what I got to say? One thing? Shut the fuck up. Check it out. Thank you very much, everybody. Seriously, because we're Port Hammett, P-O-U, bar. We are on
www.myspace/PortHabit, P-O-U-R-H-A-B-I-T.
Wrong. You forgot the .com.
I was just going to do it. .com. www.myspace/PortHabit.
No.
MySpace.com.
Damn it.
/PortHabit.
/or/, whichever one it is, you know y'all don't want to talk about. P-O-U-R-H-A-B-I-T. So, how about your boys? Poor habit. We're coming back to California. Play the place punk music. And we're going to do the damn thing. And you can't do nothing about it. We're a bunch of idiots. I'm sorry. But thank you. Thank you very much for my radio cast. Thank you.
That's it.
What are your last words, chick? Stu Lance signing off for the Los Angeles Lakers.
My last words are... Poor habit, drink, see how fucking slap yourself on the head, and you beat black men with afros and motherfucking strong ass $3 motherfucking. What you got on, man?
Hey, this is called a flannel.
Thrift store ass shit, which I buy. I'm a big fan of thrift stores. Two chimes, number love, we're doing a damn thing. We're just playing. We're drinking. Up here.
Thanks, Jordan.
Yeah, thank you, Jordan. We'll be right back.
That was Poor Habit with Hellbent, and before that we heard a track called Institution, and a little bit before that we heard another track by Poor Habit called Misfigured. What can I say? That's just about it for the Los Angeles part of the show. We still have that Against Me interview coming up. We caught up with Andrew on the phone while he was taking a break between the American and the Canadian leg of the tour that they're doing to support the Foo Fighters. And we still have some more stuff coming up, though, from down south in L.A. There's a whole shitload of cool people that I had the pleasure of meeting and hanging out with. I want to give a couple shout-outs here, I guess. Thanks to Dally for the place to stay, and thanks to Nick, Mr. Moto, probably one of the biggest Strung Out fans I've ever met. Thanks again for everything. Thanks for the ride from the airport. Of course, thanks to the guys in I Am Ghost, the guys in Poor Habit, the guys in the Syncope Threshold, the 2035 kids, everybody that came out to that host party on Friday night, anybody else that I'm forgetting, thank you, nice to meet you, talk to you soon. Whole bunch more stuff coming up on the videos, stuff that you haven't even heard here. We've got some different jam sessions from different bands, and that's on www.myspace.com/burnside780. I think I got that right. Right now, one of the people that I met down there was an awesome dude by the name of George, and he plays in a band called Attackhead. This is some pretty awesome skull-crushing heavy metal with an old-school edge. I'm not that witty. I actually just read that right off the back of the CD. Now, if you like what you hear next, stay tuned to The Grind and punkradiocast.com, because down the road, a few months or so, we're also going to do an interview with the dudes from Attackhead. So prepare your souls, hide your children, lock up your whatever the hell you need to lock up. This track here is called Lead the Blind, Attackhead. On The Grind, Volume 13. After that, we're going to hit up some Against Me, start off with the track called Stop, and then right on into the interview. Catch you guys on the other side. Take the day, shame and dream.
to think, figure out what's important to you. Stop, take some time to think, figure out what's important to you. Stop, take some time to think, figure out what's important to you. Gotta make a serious decision.
Hello again, Andrew. How are you?
I'm good. Hello.
It's been a while since we last talked.
Oh, yes. At least 2 minutes.
We were talking with Andrew Seward from Against Me, just coming off of a big American tour with Foo Fighters. How has everything been going so far with that tour?
Oh, great. Completely, like, probably some of the nicest guys you'll ever meet, all the Foo Fighters guys. And, yeah, it's just... it's fun. It's different, interesting, and fun. Oh, I wrote some intro music for our interview. You ready?
Okay, let's do it.
All right. This is the new direction. It's called my bass solo project. Okay.
Awesome.
Fucking stupid. All right.
Nothing like
that. Andrew got a new toy.
Yeah, nothing like having some downtime to play around with some new toys, hey?
That's right. Toys that I will probably never do anything with, but fun to fuck around with for at least 5 minutes.
Now, on this Foo Fighters tour, it's one of the bigger tours that you've been on, with one of the bigger names, I should say, in rock. How has the experience of playing to new fans that you might not reach with some of the other tours you've done, how has that experience been?
It's been nothing but good. I mean, sometimes, you know, we'll play on the last, like, we were first out of three bands. Nice old Partridge Tinkin, the guy from System of a Down. I mean, you got to do what you always got to do. You just got to, you know, it's fun. I mean, you get a lot of blank faces sometimes and appreciate it. Nice old pockets of people.
Now, you've gone,
you know, the songs.
You've gone through quite a transition in the last couple of years or so, going from more of a DIY style releases and that to being on Sire Records and having your new album produced by Butch Vig. What was the experience of spending, you know, that much time and having such a meticulous process to produce your new album compared to what you've done in the past?
I mean, it was an absolutely different process, just basically because we had time to do it, you know? And the craziest thing is Butch Vig is probably also, I know I'm so this about the Foo Fighters too, but he's just a really nice, patient guy who likes to hang out. He's become our friend. They all is basically just like recording. He's like, except, you know, taking nice, pay a lot longer. And yeah, I mean, that's because we, so is basically to be a meticulous friend, except, you know, taking, wanted to completely take longer. And yeah, it was way more meticulous, just have everything. Of course, it was like we wanted to just rush in and make a record. We wanted to, which we did in Memphis and just have everything be completely on the same page. Mm-hmm. The night before mixing, something like that, and freaked out because we recorded everything too fast.
Oh, no.
But we were out of time. So it's just, you know, it's like Sire has afforded us the opportunity to take our time and do it right, and we want to do that.
Yeah, just really flesh out something that you're completely happy with all the aspects of.
Oh, totally. And I mean, not like talking shit on Cowboy. Like, I listened back to it, and I still like the record. I think some of it's a bit too fast, but, you know, it's still a representation of where we were at that time.
Yeah, definitely. All recordings are a good sort of footnote on where everyone is in the world at that time and what's going on.
As I think records should be. They shouldn't all sound the same.
Yeah, exactly. Sure. If you're doing the same thing over and over again, I think that's the definition of insanity, right?
Yeah, and doing the same thing, it's the definition of boring.
Now, you folks are known as a very political band with passionate and raw lyrics and sound to it. What are your thoughts on everything that's going on politically in the States right now, winding down Bush's term and getting into possibly something new that is either going to be good or bad?
Well, I mean, we definitely need something new. But the thing that sucks about saying that is we've always needed something new.
Yeah.
You know, it's not, I mean, even if Hillary or Obama get nominated, I mean, it's not going to be as drastic as people think.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, there have been studies, you know, they're like, we'll end the war and pull, you know, troops out immediately. I mean, that's easier. It's a lot easier said than done. You know what I mean? Like, all these people are trying to get elected.
Yeah, it's not an overnight.
So they're saying what people want to hear, but the reality is always a way much different story. So, I mean, we'll see. You know, I'm not an expert on any of this stuff. I keep my ears open, so it's just my interpretation.
Oh, I always like to get the opinion of different people that I talk to that have just, you know, experienced different things and seen different situations. What's your take on the truth movement that seems to be popping up and becoming more prevalent in American culture right now regarding not just 9/11, but a lot of the sort of the government things that people are questioning and saying, really, is that what is actually going on?
You mean like conspiracy theories? Or?
Not so much conspiracy. I mean, they could be labeled as conspiracy theories, but I mean, there's always a lot of stuff that government obviously has to do sort of behind the scenes, but it seems now that there's a lot more questioning by the American people as to, you know, what are the reasons that a lot of these things are being done, and is it really in the best interest of people?
Well, I think, I mean, hopefully it's completely piqued, you know, people's curiosity into why, you know, they're doing, you know, all the, like, you know, torture and things like that. But mm-hmm. you have to understand they're not going to stop doing it.
Yeah.
Like, they just got caught, and they might say they won't do it. Actually, I believe they went on record saying, like, never saying they wouldn't do it again.
Yeah, that's
right. Saying they had to do it. I don't know. I think this isn't really an answer to the question, but people's attention spans are so fucking short.
That's very true.
That most people have probably already even forgotten about it.
It you know, yeah, a lot of stuff comes by as just sort of a, you know, it's a news bite, it's a sound bite on CNN or something like that. And then, like, as you say, a couple months down the road, people are, you know, thinking about something else already. So
yeah, and then I mean, it's hard to turn on the news. And, I mean, all you hear about is, like, Hillary and Barack going at it.
Yeah.
That's all you hear about.
Yeah, you just have the Democratic machine going at it, at each other.
Oh, yeah, I mean, it's the news media. They if they go, they tell you what you want to hear to get their business. They want people to tune in.
Definitely.
So they're going to tell you what's the most interesting thing, not what you need to hear, but what you want to hear.
Yeah, exactly. What's going to they're selling the sizzle, not just the steak, I guess. Going back to your music here, how has the writing process changed now that you're doing a lot more international tours and you're all over the place? How does that compare to being able to, you know, be in one locale or sort of like one state and writing compared to being all over the place and trying to get your thoughts and musical content down?
I mean, New Wave was completely different because New Wave was absolutely Tom's brainchild. You know, he'd just be sitting in the back of the van or, you know, in a hotel room, like, writing these songs,
mm-hmm.
you know, like writing White People or New Wave. And then we would kind of, like, he'd bring in a riff and, like, show it to me or show it to James. And then, you know, we'd all get together and, like, a lot of it was written at soundcheck, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was put together. But he'd have complete songs and just come to soundcheck and be like, hey, you know, try this. And I mean, sometimes we'd play it the next day, you know, like most of the songs on New Wave were played live well before we even recorded them, well before.
Well road tested then, a lot of these songs.
Yeah. There are only a couple that, I know Born, on FM Waves mm-hmm. was written on the way out there. So that one never got the road test. I'm trying to think what else never got the road test. I don't think Thrash got the road test. Don't quote me on that, even though I know this is recorded.
Yeah.
I guess I am quoted on that.
Not much I can do now. So. It's it's on record, so.
Yeah, fuck.
You were just mentioning Born on the FM Waves of the Hearts. Now, sort of a local tie-in here. There was a duo lyrically on that with Tegan Quinn of Tegan and Sarah. How did that association come to be? Was that due to the connection of Sire Records?
No, it was actually... Warren and Tom were being interviewed at a Warped Tour in Vancouver at Thunderbird Stadium, I believe.
Yep, that's right.
And Tegan was there, I think, for Much Music, interviewing people, and she interviewed them.
Okay.
And I believe Tom jokingly, you know, said, no. She said, yeah, if you ever need somebody to do guest vocals on a song, just call me up. I'm down for it. And, you know, Tom basically said, seriously. And I think they exchanged emails, and, you know, Born came up, and you know, she said, really? And yeah, she came out and did it.
Reputation.
Now, do you have a lot of experiences like that where you run into different different artists or different bands and you start collaborating on something that just sort of started off as a joke almost?
No, not really a joke. Like, I'm trying to think, Genevieve from Fifth Hour Heroes sang on the on Searching for Former Clarity. She sang on How Low, and they were actually just in Baltimore playing a show when we were recording there. And they just stopped by the studio and did some backup vocals, and yeah, she just sang on it. Sometimes things just happen.
I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit here. What is your favorite Canadian export musically?
Musically, Canadian export? Well, as a bass player, I'd probably say No Means No.
Nice, nice.
Just because the brothers of bass and drums are complete badasses.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
They're from Vancouver, right? Or Victoria?
I know they're from the West Coast. I'm just not entirely sure where.
Yeah, those guys, my old roommate a long time ago introduced me to them, and yeah, they're very good.
Very nice. What,
I'm trying to think of another good Canadian export. I would say Les Boys, the Quebec comedy, but I can't understand it.
I was going through just doing some interview prep, and I saw that Billy Talent had been mentioned at one point. And when you're touring on like Warped Tour or something with a lot of different just a variety of bands, who's the person that stands out the most that you've had a chance to talk to, and who is somebody that you guys haven't had a chance to play with yet but would really love to?
I mean, we've done a couple things I never thought we'd get to do, or you know, I'd get to do ever. It was a long time ago, maybe like 4 years ago, we opened up for Social Distortion, 4 shows.
Mm-hmm.
But even bigger than that, and I didn't get to talk to like Ness, but Matt Freeman, the bass player from Rancid, was playing bass for Social Distortion, and I got to hang out with him a little bit, and he did the Maxwell Murder bass solo on my acoustic bass, which was pretty tight. Really nice guy and amazing bass player. We actually played 2 shows with the Pogues in Las Vegas.
Oh, awesome. That would have been quite
with Shane McGowan, which it was cool, but it was also just odd in a way, because that's a band you never thought you'd actually play with.
Yeah, definitely. Huh.
And it definitely was an experience, but it's what I expected it to be. And I'm going to leave that mysteriously hanging there.
Yeah. Huh. Okay. When we were talking a bit briefly before the interview actually got into full swing here, you were mentioning that you're sort of between tours right now, between legs of tours. You just sort of wrapped up in Arizona, is that correct? A few nights ago?
Los Angeles in California.
Oh, okay. And then you're flying back up to Canada. You're going to be landing in Montreal for a show on the 17th on Monday?
Yep, St. Patrick's Day.
Awesome. Be prepared for
Montreal.
Some snow. We just got a big dump of snow in that area. So.
Oh, really?
A little bit of a transition.
It's really rainy here right now, but yesterday it was 76 degrees and completely sunny. Bring my heavy coat.
Definitely, yeah. I was just down in L.A. for the weekend to catch the Strung Out Death by Stereo DI show at the Vault, and when I came back, it was a little bit of a shock to the system, going from the nice California weather to back to Canada. Wow, snow. Yes, where is my parka?
We've toured Canada in January and February before. We know it's going to be cold. I mean, of course, it was freezing then, but we were thinking this time, it's March, it'll be a little better, but no, it's going to be freezing.
Sometimes we get snowstorms all the way up through till May. What can you say?
Yeah. All right, I'll bring that on.
Now, you had mentioned that you're going to be hitting Europe very shortly after this, after the cross-Canadian tour with the Foo Fighters, and you'll be playing with the Dropkick Murphys.
Yep, we're playing right after Vancouver. We're flying to Copenhagen, Denmark, and doing about a 2-week tour of mainland Europe with Dropkick Murphys, and then going over to England for about 4 shows on our own, then flying home just for 3 days. Straight to Brisbane, Australia to tour Australia and New Zealand.
Man, all over the place, eh? Is there anything that you'd like to toss out there before we wrap things up? Any websites to plug or any bands that we should be keeping our ears open for?
Yeah, I'm not a very good plugger.
Okay.
Keep your ears open for new music. It's the best thing. And Canada's always fun and good to us. And we're also looking forward to playing, we're playing shows on our off days too. Like we're playing Thunder Bay and Kingston, Quebec City. So I think we have one actual off day.
Now, those off shows are for. Sorry, those off shows are going to be. It's for a charitable cause. Is that true?
on this one, I don't know. I don't think these are. I think we're going to do another benefit show for Harvest of Hope sometime soon, maybe down in Florida again.
Okay. Well, I want to thank you very much for taking some time out of your day and giving me some time to talk to you.
My pleasure. All right. See you in Canada.
Great. Thanks, man.
That was Against Me with Americans Abroad. Thanks again to Andrew from Warner Music and Andrew from Against Me for setting everything up and doing the interview and all that. I decided to do a little experiment for this show. I brought in some vinyl and decided I would try to convert that into a digital format, send it out across the old internet, and now it's in your ears. The world hasn't ended, so I guess I have not committed a sin against nature. Take that, audiophiles. That's about it for The Grind, Volume 13, the Los Angeles edition, plus Against Me. Obviously, I've come to the end of the show because I'm getting stupid. Not to say I wasn't stupid before, but it's really showing now. So we're going to wrap things up here. Let's do a little bit of seeing what's coming up ahead. This weekend, I'll be hitting up the Junos in Calgary. I'll be doing some interviews with, who knows, anybody I can wrangle in front of a microphone and a camera. Speaking of camera, of course, I'm going to plug it one more time. www.myspace.com/burnside780. We've got videos from a lot of stuff up there. We've got the old podcasts from yesteryear that you may or may not have heard. Those are all available for download. And speaking of video, looks like we're going to do something a little special with the Warped Tour this year. Can't really divulge what that is yet, but stay tuned to punkradiocast.com. Keep checking the websites, and you will soon find out what is going on. That's it. That's all. Catch you guys later.